Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We hit the field light all day light, all night light. Here we go.
Keep it all.
We got rhythm light.
This is the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast with James Rapine and Daryl Ryder on 92.3thefan.com.
What up, and welcome into another edition of the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast. I'm James Rapine. Along with Daryl Ryder, we talk to you every single week about the latest and greatest news in Cleveland sports, Indians, Cavs, and of course the Cleveland Browns, which we're going to get to today. A lot of football on tap. A quick reminder, you can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and as always, every podcast posted at 92.3thefan.com. We are your beat writers for 92.3 The Fan, as we both share in Cavaliers coverage. Daryl covers the Browns, I cover the Indians. And well, Daryl, there was some Browns news this week that has kind of taken over Twitter, taken over the Browns universe over the past couple of days. Kareem Hunt signed a one-year contract with the Cleveland Browns. There's an option, or he's a restricted free agent the year after, so he could be with the Browns for a couple of seasons if all goes well. You've wrote about it a lot at 92.3thefan.com. If you haven't checked out Daryl's work, check it out there. We know some of your thoughts. I'm sure our listeners do, but your initial reaction to this was, I think why was your initial reaction. Is that fair?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the Cleveland Browns are the best worst team to cover. They're the best team to cover because there's always a story, and that's what matters to me. They're the worst team to cover is because the stories are usually never good, and this is not a good story right now. Maybe in a year it'll be a good story because Kareem Hunt will have redeemed himself, and both on as well as off the field. It's because of his talent on the field he's getting this opportunity. Mm-hmm. I've said it. I stand by it. I think this is the worst possible place for him to play because the three incidents that the NFL is looking into have all occurred here in Cleveland. This is where he gets in trouble. So unless the Browns plan on hiring a babysitter for him, which they probably should do, and I say that knowing that we're talking about grown men here, but some of these guys do need that.
Sure.
Like they need someone to hold their hand, and I really think that he might be a guy that needs that because he's not had a lot of great influences in his life, and I am concerned with that. So it's, you know, there's a perception out there that I'm against second chances, and that I'm not a Christian because I'm not willing to forgive and forget and all those type of things. No. It's just I have a little moral fiber to me, and I don't believe that the ends always justify the means, and I'm not a believer in win at all costs. But John Dorsey, who drafted Kareem, knows Kareem a little better than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Dorsey has already shown us that he will do whatever it takes to win. This signing is exhibit A of that. He's not afraid to take chances on guys with character. That's blatantly obvious. Just look at, again, some of the moves he made as the GM of the Chiefs.
Yeah. Kareem Hunt being one.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill being another. So, to me, it's not about me being opposed to Kareem Hunt getting a second chance. I'm opposed to him being here with the Browns at home in Cleveland where things tend not to go well with him.
Yeah, I think part of it is you feel like, given his history, given what's happened, that it's just going to happen again. That's my sense in reading what you've wrote and everything. Since he's had incidents here, why would it be different because he's playing football here when he's had issues at home?
Well, and here's the thing, you know, one of many directions that we can go with this, because I think that this whole thing, there's so many tentacles that we really can get into in this podcast as far as this specific story is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But with him specifically, you know, I do find it somewhat amusing that the Browns completed their investigation of Kareem Hunt and their background check and everything else before the NFL has. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so also this notion that because he, and I give credit where it's due, Kareem, John Dorsey told us on Monday, Kareem is the one that put himself in the counseling, and he's doing that and he's staying up on that. As somebody who went through counseling as a child for over a decade, I'm going to tell you 2 to 3 months of counseling hasn't fixed much. I'm just being real with people here.
Mm-hmm.
And me telling things about myself tends to get myself in trouble, but I keep things real, James. And you know, hopefully he stays with the counseling and he's getting the help that he needs to allow him to deal with whatever it is that he deals with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've talked about this on this podcast before about these guys are human beings, and they have the same problems that you and I have, and a lot of these players grow up under some very difficult circumstances. They grow up through broken homes. There are guys, excuse me, there are guys in professional sports that have been homeless. You know, the stories are truly and honestly heartbreaking. There's no question about that. And I do not want to minimize it. I do not want to brush it off. I understand that. There's also, though, personal accountability. And there's also, you know, putting yourself in good positions. Hopefully Kareem will be able to do that. Hopefully the Browns will be able to surround him with the people that will allow him or help him or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Stay away from the nine, stay away from Barley, stay away from rumors, stay away from all the clubs, man. Be in bed by 10 if you have to. Like, because all his incidents have occurred late at night.
Mm-hmm. Nothing good happens after midnight. It's the old saying. He's Daryl Ryder. I'm James Erpine.
Not unless you're on the couch snuggling with someone.
That's right. This is the Cleveland Sports Beat podcast. All right. There's a couple things here that I want to dive into. And mm-hmm. I covered the Bengals when Joe Mixon was drafted.
Yep.
And I know it's not the same situation, Cleveland fan, because I've gotten Bengals fans when I tweeted it out. Yeah, I got Bengals fans coming at me, and I had Browns fans coming at me when I tweeted this out. I think the Browns got this wrong. And not even the signing.
Okay.
When they announced that signing, later, that you got notification later that Dorsey was going to speak, correct?
Yeah, there's a group of us. We're in a text chain, and we got a, hey, we're going to make John available this afternoon, so make yourself available if you can.
Sure.
And I will, and not to cut you off, I'm sorry, but I will give the Browns credit and John Dorsey credit for making himself available to answer some questions because the statement just wasn't going to cut it.
Well, it wasn't, and that's my thing, is this became a story. We do 18 hours of radio live every single day on 92.3 The Fan.
Correct.
It was all Kareem Hunt for 2 straight days.
Yes.
Right? The city, that's what was talked about in Cleveland for 2 straight days.
Yes.
It would be done now had they done what the Bengals did a couple of years ago, which was make Joe Mixon available. He was drafted on a Friday night.
Right.
He was made available in Sunday or Saturday. He talked with every TV outlet, national, local, every writer, every radio station. Anyone that wanted to talk to Joe Mixon could talk with him one-on-one, on the record, on camera, with the recorder on, to write their stories, write their profiles, write whatever. Man, woman, child, it doesn't matter. Anyone that was in the media could talk to him. They made him available. And by Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of that next week, it was completely done. Yeah. People were done talking about Joe Mixon. There was no, what's going to happen? Joe Mixon's character. It was, okay, let's see what's going to happen when he actually plays. And the problem with what the Browns did, yes, John Dorsey spoke, and that's good, and he should have spoke. But if Kareem Hunt would have talked, because at some point he's going to talk as a member of the Cleveland Browns, everything's going to come back. If he has one misstep or one misquote or one misthing, it's going to come back. It's going to be a story. It's going to be on NFL Live and ESPN and 92.3 The Fan and everywhere, and it's going to be a story again. If they had made him available, and part of this has to do with trust, by the way. Do you trust him to say and do the right things?
Mm-hmm.
The Bengals clearly trusted Joe because they put him through the ringer over a couple days, and he just got drafted.
We call it the car wash. Yeah. You do all the national outlets. Like, to your point, I mean, I did two radio interviews outside of our radio station on this, and I told all the people, and it wasn't personal. I said, I'm not going to talk about this transaction. And the reason I declined those, all those, I had about 40 to 50 interview requests nationwide because I'm not justifying what the Cleveland Browns did. I'm not going to try and explain to other audiences around the country why Kareem Hunt is a Cleveland Brown. Just not going to do it. Call the Browns. Get John Dorsey. Get Kareem Hunt. Get Dee Haslam. I would have liked to talk to Dee Haslam. I want to know why she signed off on this as a woman, why she signed off on it. At some point she's going to need to address it.
But do you agree with me that if he was available,
I do. I wholeheartedly,
it changes everything
because you're right. Here's what's going to happen now. And this is part of my frustration because I'm now going to have to write about this and set, this is Josh Gordon 2.0 for me. And Josh Gordon was hell on earth to cover. It was a complete bleep show to cover. Because now, the first time he talks, that's a story. When Dee Haslam talks, that's a story. The first time he practices, there's another story. Hopefully, he doesn't get in trouble again. But if he does get in trouble, so the black eye, the stain that is on your organization now, it's there. It's now perpetual. You have now invited this upon yourselves. So whatever criticism you get, congrats, Browns, you won. You deserve it. You've earned it. That's my frustration with this franchise. Is every time I'm ready to get on board with them and be like, yeah, okay, these guys know what the F they're doing. They do some dumb bleep like this.
See, now I'll push back a little bit because I see what John Dorsey's doing. I see why he did that. This isn't Josh.
I get this isn't Josh Gordon. I get the football reason why he did
this
it.
I disagree with it. This isn't Josh Gordon because the Browns are the ones that invested in Josh Gordon.
Correct. Well, the Browns are investing in Kareem Hunt too. Now, that granted, they're not investing much, but they're putting their butts on the line.
They are. But this is more New England investing in Josh Gordon. Minimum deal with some incentives if he ends up being as good as he was the past couple of years. No commitment, no guaranteed money. But my problem, because I get it. From a football end of it, he might be a top three running back on the planet. He might be that damn good.
He might be the best running back.
But he might be, right? He might be. And he makes you better, and I get Nick Chubb and Duke Johnson, and everyone loves Duke Johnson. He's much better than either one of those guys.
I'd say a guy that averages 110 scrimmage yards and a touchdown per game is pretty damn good.
He's good. He's got 25 touchdowns.
And oh, by the way, that's why he's getting this second chance.
No doubt about it.
If he had Duke Johnson's career numbers, and I'm not disparaging Duke. I love Duke Johnson. Great guy. Super talented. I think he's been underutilized or mismanaged or misused. I love Duke Johnson. But if Kareem Hunt had Duke Johnson's numbers, I don't think the Cleveland Browns or anyone else bothers to sign him.
No, but that's life too.
I understand that. I totally get it. Yep. I'm just saying that if Kareem had Duke's numbers, I don't think he's a Cleveland Brown today.
And I guess
he's a Brown because he's got 3,000 scrimmage yards or just under 3,000 scrimmage yards and like 25 touchdowns in 27 games. That's why he's a Cleveland Brown.
No doubt about it. It's talent. And that to me, and it might be because I saw Joe Mixon and how he's now a fan favorite in Cincinnati. He's never had any issues since then. He's become a valued member of that community, believe it or not, community service wise. And you might say, well, Mixon's issue happened in college. he was under 21. You know, and he was able to grow up. Kareem Hunt has never grown up. This has been a pattern since forever, right? And so I understand that. But I've seen it work. And so I think because I've seen that work, you take a risk on a top five talent at running back. And if it doesn't go well and he gets in trouble in June, then you move on. And if it does go well, you have him under team control for the next 2 years, maybe longer if you want a franchise. You know, I haven't dove into that, but maybe you have him longer. Maybe he's here 4 or 5 years. That, to me, is the type of gamble now, given the culture that the Browns actually have. I mean, earlier today, I heard Ian Eagle on 92.3 The Fan talk about how the Browns culture is they're better. They're more well-run than the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Bengals or the Ravens right now.
I don't know about that.
But that, to me, the fact that, that's the perception now, and you have Baker and you have Freddie and you have John Dorsey, if this fails, you can overcome it. In the past, the old Browns couldn't overcome
it. Right.
So culture's in place. So my issue, I get why they signed him, because, and I'm not accepting anything that he did. I get all of that.
Right.
But I get why they signed him. I just wish they would have made him available, and I wonder if he wasn't made available because they don't necessarily trust him, and things are still kind of rocky, and this is John Dorsey just giving his guy that he drafted a couple years ago, throwing him a bone.
Yeah, I think your point is extremely valid. I'm with you. I do think that they would have been better served just getting it over with. What I would have done is had him, similar to what you said they did in Cincinnati, on Monday, give it to the local people, let us all have at him, and then the following day, have him do the national car wash. Put him on Jim Rome, put him on Colin Cowherd, put him on ESPN's platforms, and allow, you know, and try and rehabilitate his image a little bit. I think that probably would have been a beneficial move because, as I said, we've yet to speak to him. We've yet to speak to other people in the organization. I mentioned Dee Haslam specifically. The reason I am anxious to speak with her is because she's a woman. She's a mother. She has a daughter. And she's co-owner of the team.
Sure.
And so it's not that I want to speak with her because I want to put her on notice or something. You know what I mean? Like in a negative tone, it's just...
You just want her opinion.
I want your view of this situation. What do you believe? You know, what can you share about it that tilted you in the direction of saying, okay, John, go ahead and make this move? Because and the reason I want to speak with her is because I respect her and I value her opinion and as co-owner of the franchise. So yes, you're not going to get any pushback from me as far as availability, but I really think that because once they put that out there, once they announced that they signed him and they had already had the canned statement from both John Dorsey as well as Kareem Hunt, I think that they realized they needed to do a little more. So the immediate thing available to them was John to pop out of his office and come downstairs for a couple of minutes and chit chat. Maybe Kareem had already left the building and it was too late to get him to come back or whatever. So again, I'm not making excuses, whatever, just trying to be objective about the whole situation.
Sure.
But I do agree with you that had they handled it in that manner, that maybe the continuation of this now going forward. Seriously, it's going to get dredged up again once the NFL makes their ruling. You know, I'm not going to say he's going to get disciplined because I don't know that. I'm assuming that the NFL is going to discipline him. I think that the Browns are very well, and actually John told us on Monday that they're prepared for whatever discipline the NFL ultimately hands down as a result of whatever their findings are of not one, not two, but three different incidents that involve Kareem Hunt in Cleveland, Ohio, in his personal time. So it's not personal for me. And that's what people have to understand is I covered Kareem Hunt when he was in high school. I called some of his games. I used to do some high school games with Dan Lobby at Cleveland.com. We'd do some high school football broadcasts.
Oh, okay.
I remember he scored 6 touchdowns in like the first freaking half against University School. All right. I mean, he just was incredible to watch. It was in the era of, you know, Ben Gideon, the linebacker that went to Michigan. I don't know where he is in the NFL now, but, you know, he was kind of a big deal. Mitch Trubisky, obviously, starting quarterback in the Chicago Bears. You know, Kareem Hunt. Like, there were some really good high school football players here in that era that, you know, when I was doing that high school work for Cleveland.com. So I got to talk to Kareem Hunt. He was a real quiet kid, mild-mannered. Real shy, didn't really know how to, you know, didn't really, I don't want to say like the attention, but just wasn't comfortable with the attention, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
He just really, you know, seemed like a real quiet, happy-go-lucky kid that liked playing football. To me, that was my impression of Kareem Hunt when he was in high school at Willoughby South. I did know that, there may have been some things that, aside from just his, he wasn't the prototypical size for a running back. I don't know that his grades were like strong enough or whatnot. But he ended up going to Toledo, played well there, and he ended up getting drafted in the third round and led the league in rushing. So I don't have a personal vendetta against Kareem Hunt. I do have my doubts. I have my concerns. About the Browns taking a chance after getting out from the stink of Johnny Manziel and the stink of Josh Gordon, and finally people are starting to pat you on the back and they're not laughing at you anymore. You're no longer the butt of jokes in the National Football League. You just mentioned today, you know, that people think that they're
perception's changing.
Right, the perception of the franchise is changing, and now you go ahead and do this.
And to me, the one thing I'll say in The Manziel comparison.
Well, I'm not comparing to it, not you,
but like just in general, it's close-ish. They were both stars. Now, Kareem Hunt had much more NFL success. Both stars, though. A lot of draft people knew who Kareem Hunt was going into that draft. It was a crazy running back draft.
Right.
I mean, it was insane. I mean, you're talking Joe Mixon, Alvin Kamara, Leonard Fournette. I mean, it goes on and on and on of all these guys.
It was a great draft. If you were running, it's like we talk about with the quarterback drafts, you know?
It was a star running back draft. So that's part of the reason why he did go to the third round. But Manziel's only stop was with the Browns.
Right.
Because he wasn't good at football.
Well, not only was he not good at football, he had substance abuse problems, and it was starting to lead to other issues off the field, a la the incident with his ex-girlfriend.
But he gets a second chance. Mark my words, he would have gotten a second chance,
Johnny,
had he had thrown 45 touchdowns. Heck, the Browns might not have even moved on from him. Hugh Jackson, when he came here, it might not have been a stipulation of, hey, we're moving on from Johnny. It might have been, all right, let's see. It would have been a Josh Gordon situation, potentially. When you show you have talent...
He was a 24/7 headache, though. That's why it made it easy for them to move on.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. So with this, I get why they did it, because the talent is there. And I think that there is a chance, even if it's a 50-50 chance, that a year from now, if Kareem Hunt can prove that he can keep his nose clean, that he cannot get in trouble, that he is in bed watching Netflix, which I'm doing. If I'm not working, I'm usually watching Netflix or a sporting event at 10 o'clock at night. I mean, I'm at home anyways. I'm not a partier anyway. So Kareem, just calm it down a little. Be friends with Netflix. You're a star. You're one of the most talented people in the planet what you do. If he keeps his nose clean, he could be a Browns legend. Think about it. Manziel's on the rise. He is better than Nick Chubb. And people – or not Manziel. Baker Mayfield's on the rise. Excuse me. Wrong one there.
Missed that one by a mile.
Baker Mayfield's on the rise, though. Probably going to be a star. Already a star. But could be a 10-time Superstar. Pro Bowler. Yes. If they combine him, Hunt, and Baker together for the next 5 years, and you win playoff games here, oh, my God. You know, Hunt can be a part of that. This could be one heck of a story, but it comes down to him, right? It comes down to him and staying clean. And when you look at John Dorsey's track record, Tyreek Hill, people still bring up what happened pre-draft.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, he's been clean by all accounts. Joe Mixon, I've already talked about him. The opportunity is there.
Right.
And yes, the Browns did give him that opportunity. And really, it's up to Kareem. What does Kareem want to do? Does he want to make John Dorsey look like a fool? Does he want to make the Cleveland Browns look foolish for taking a chance on him? Or does he want to reward them for being the team that signed him, to reward them for being the organization that had to issue the statement, that had to address the media, that's going to have to deal with more pushback from it. That, to me, is the key here. If you're Kareem Hunt,
it's on him.
You're in debt to the Browns now to show them that they didn't make a mistake. And I think that's a very interesting and should be motivating spot for a guy like Hunt to be in.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see if ultimately that's how it plays out. You said it best. It's opportunity. My other issue with this is it wasn't a need. Like, of all the needs this offseason that the Browns had, running back wasn't even on the list, okay? Mm-hmm. Nick Chubb averages 4.7 a carry. Mm-hmm. Kareem Hunt averages 4.7 a carry. Nick Chubb, in partial playing time last year, could have easily put up 1,200 yards on the ground rushing had he gotten the full workload from day one like Kareem Hunt did with Kansas City. That's the other part of this for me, is it's not necessary. Like, the Browns, they didn't fill a need here. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is frosting on the cake. That running back room now all of a sudden is very, very crowded. They
might be the best
they,
running back room in the league.
They weren't able to handle it last year. They had to trade Carlos Hyde to get him out of there. Now, part of that was because the coaches were a couple of numbnuts and didn't know what the hell they were doing, or they were just too busy in their own little pissing contest between each other.
That's what it was.
That, you know, so John Dorsey pulled the old, okay, you know, I need you to play Nick Chubb more. And then they said, well, we're going to play Carlos Hyde. And he said, no, you're not, because Carlos Hyde's a Jacksonville Jaguar now. So, yes, you will play Nick Chubb on Sunday. But, you know, so it wasn't a need. So that was the other head scratcher for me in this whole situation. I think ultimately at some point, let's assume the best. Okay? Mm-hmm. Let's assume the best. Give the kid a legitimate second chance here. Let's say that he stays with the counseling, he gets involved with the community, he begins to repair his image, he gets back on the, he serves whatever punishment the NFL hands down, and he comes back and he picks up where he left off in Kansas City. I think ultimately Duke Johnson will be the odd man out, because if I remember the numbers right, Kareem's got like 800 receiving yards or something like that, and 8 or 9 touchdowns or 10 touchdowns.
Hunt
like
has 833 receiving yards in 2 seasons, 10 touchdowns.
Yeah,
receiving.
So I was right.
He can
right
ball.
Yeah, so right out of the, so his dual purposeness, if you will, I think would replace Duke Johnson ultimately when it's all said and done. Mm-hmm. From a business, just we're talking business of football here. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about validity of the move or whether we like it, we don't like it. Just this is where we're at. He is a Cleveland Brown. These are things that they will talk about behind the scenes now until probably up until the trading deadline.
I think they're going to trade him.
I think that they will trade
Duke Johnson has value.
Of course he does.
They might not trade him.
I don't think you can trade him now. You have to wait till the trade deadline in October. Because here's the other thing. You got to see how long
he's
going to
be suspended.
Journalistically, I have to catch myself. He has not been suspended. It's not guaranteed he's being suspended, so I have to catch myself and stop
you
acting
can.
Like
I'm
going to
be
is.
Bad. He's going to be suspended.
That's fine. Should he be suspended once the discipline comes down, if in fact he's suspended, you got to see how long that is. Does he get 6 games? Do they give him time? Do they give him time served because he lost it? You know, obviously, he's paid a penalty here. He lost a couple million bucks because the Chiefs terminated his contract. He
missed 5 games.
He missed 5 games.
Playoff games?
Missed out on a chance to play for a Super Bowl. So he has paid a penalty. Mm-hmm. I still don't believe it's significantly enough. I still don't believe that him being signed by a team 3 months after the fact is long enough either. I think he should have to sweat it out a little more.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think if he suspended 3 games or less, and I know a lot of people are projecting 4, 6, and 8. Let's say it's 3
or less. I'm going to look up. I'm going to look up the domestic violence suspension policy. Give me a second.
Yeah, but let's just say it's 3 or it's just less than people realize. I think a Duke Johnson trade could be realistic still. If it's 8, if it's 6, you know, if it's 10.
Okay,
then
here we go.
Then to me, you got to keep Duke Johnson around.
Okay. This is back in 2014 that this went into effect. 6 games for the first domestic violence incident. And okay, and before all you Twitter know-it-alls come at me again, I know it wasn't domestic violence because they weren't in a domestic relationship.
It's fair. It was assault. Simple assault.
Fine. Assault. We'll call it assault or whatever. Okay. But the domestic violence policy is 6 games for the first incident, lifetime ban for a second incident. Now, this problem, because it isn't domestic violence, okay, Twitter know-it-alls, I know, not domestic violence, maybe the...
So who
conduct,
knows?
The conduct policy
the NFL
could get
is weird,
turned
man.
And twisted.
It could be. That's why right. I said it could be 3 or less, and I wouldn't be shocked. It could be 8, and I wouldn't be shocked.
Right.
I don't know. And so.
And hey, what do you know? Again, for all the Twitter know-it-alls out there, because I keep saying that it's a privilege in the to play in the National Football League. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I keep getting mocked for saying that as well. The personal conduct policy of the National Football League. The first sentence is. Quote, it is a privilege to be part of the National Football League.
That's fair. That's fair. And it's true.
Okay.
There's only so many jobs. So I get it.
Yeah.
But to me, Duke Johnson will be traded this offseason if it comes out that Kareem Hunt suspended for 2 games. Let's just say, I'm going to just use that as an example. If it's 8, I think you have to keep Duke. At least till the trade deadline. You might even keep him the whole year because having depth at running back, having 3 guys that can catch out of the backfield and run between the tackles, and I think Duke can, even though they don't use him that way much. It's just, why not? You, having depth at running back is very important, especially if you plan on, in the playoffs, going to New England, going to Kansas City, or hosting either of those teams
right.
and winning. You got to keep the ball away from those offenses. You do that how? By running the ball. So I think depth at running back is important. And I think ultimately the Browns, from a talent perspective, much better than they were a couple days ago. And I know that it's hard to
wrap swallow that one.
It is. And I haven't tackled the issues on one side of it because honestly, that's the Browns' job. That's the Browns' job to evaluate if he's going to have more issues or not moving forward. I do know that if Kareem Hunt is suiting up and playing alongside Nick Chubb, and Freddie Kitchens and Baker Mayfield can have fun with 2 running back sets with those 2. Watch out, NFL. Watch out, AFC North. We'll talk more about the AFC North coming up in a bit. But, yeah, from a talent perspective, I think that the Browns are much better than they were. It's a risk, but I think it's a risk because of the talent that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's what ultimately they've decided to do. I still have problems with what I saw on video. And I'm not saying that a lot of people don't because they do, obviously. The Chiefs wasted no time moving on from him and cutting him. And again, I'm not against a second chance for somebody. I think this is considering his history and what the league is looking into and where those incidents occurred being in Cleveland. I don't know that home is the greatest environment for him. I know the Chiefs wanted to move him to Kansas City to get him away from Cleveland because he was getting into trouble.
Sure.
And obviously he was dishonest in with the Chiefs about what happened that night. And then the video comes out and they said, well, you lied to us, so we can't trust you anymore. And this is also a very problematic issue that this is now out there and gone viral. So you're gone. But, one thing I try and do, James, and I'm sure you've picked up on this already, is I try and keep it real.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason I feel the way I do about certain things. And sometimes I try to peel the curtain back and sometimes I don't do a good job of that, or I'm not clear enough in how I do it. And I'll take responsibility for that. But for all the Twitter know-it-alls and trolls out there, I have to address this. Because I'm sure that's part of the reason some people have come to this podcast, because they want me to address it. And I'm a man of the people. I'm going to give them what they want, but it needs to be addressed. What happened on Twitter Monday and Tuesday, and the backlash that was thrown at me after I revealed some stuff about my childhood, some stuff that, quite frankly, I don't talk about. I have dealt with years ago, but I was trying to explain why I was just so appalled that the Browns made this move, because it reminded me of stuff that I went through. I was on the other end, you know, as a kid going through that type of stuff. And it might be unfair, but I feel the way I do about it. I abhor violence of any kind, violence against women, violence against men, domestic violence. It's not the solution. It's not the answer. And all I did was grow up around it. And it's a non-starter for me. And for people to make jokes of what I revealed and throw that back in my face as your victory lap because the Browns signed this guy, and you're just so effing happy that the Browns signed this guy, that makes you an a-hole. That makes you a troll. And I don't have to put up with it. I don't have to tolerate it. I put up with it as a kid. I'll admit something else that I'm sure all the Twitter trolls will jump on. I was not very popular in high school. I was the class loser, the guy left on the side, whatever. I didn't go to, I went to homecoming one time. I basically spent the whole night standing in the corner because it was a miserable experience. I didn't bother going to prom. I knew where I was in the popularity hierarchy at high school. I didn't have a lot of friends. No one really liked me. So I skipped prom. I didn't go. I didn't even put myself in a position to be rejected and deal with that crap. So I know what the whole bullying thing entails. But I have lines you don't cross. You want to criticize me for having a take that you don't like? That's fine. That's fair game. I'm a public figure. I signed up for this job. There are things that we sign up for. But again, that doesn't give you an excuse to be an a-hole. It doesn't give you the right, because you have a keyboard in front of you, to be an a-hole. It doesn't give you the right to be a troll. And it doesn't give you the right to be disrespectful. What really, really upset me, more than the jokes about what I went through, was the fact that I looked at who were making the jokes. Dads and coaches. Yeah, a high school coach, a local high school coach, through my childhood experience, in my face and made a joke about it. Hope you're proud of yourselves. There are a lot of issues in this country right now, and that's not what this podcast is for. But Twitter and social media seems to have just given everyone an open forum and right to where they feel they can just be disrespectful a-holes. And this isn't about me being better than you. This isn't about me standing on a pulpit, holier than art thou. It's about respect and treating people with respect. Being nice is free. It costs you nothing. Just like my Twitter feed. Doesn't cost you a penny. You don't have to respond to everything that you see. It's not out there. I don't even know if I'm going back on Twitter. I probably eventually will have to, because the powers that be here want me to be interactive with our fans and provide you with the content, because that's why I have my job. But Twitter's not my job. It is a free service. But to come at somebody who opened up about something and throw that back in their face as a victory lap, as a way to bully and disrespect and troll and all that nonsense, I'm not putting up with it. I'm not. And there were so many people that did do that. I don't have the time to go in and just block everybody even. Mm-hmm. I don't have that kind of time. I have a life too. But I just had to get that off my chest. Being nice to people is not difficult. And that, to me, is the root of the problem in this country. Don't talk to them. Stay away from this group of people. You know, hate, disrespect, misogyny, homophobia, whatever You however you want to describe discrimination. It's all taught. It's all taught in homes across this country. We're supposed to make the generation that follows us better than us. I think that's kind of the point of life. I don't know. I don't have it figured out. I'm 41. I ain't got it figured out.
I think you're right. Go ahead.
But it's about making the world a better place, leaving the world a better place than the way we had it. And, you know, it blows my mind that there are that many vile, hateful people in the world. And I kind of feel sorry for you. But at the same time, you know, if you're a coach and you're a father, I can't wrap my head around taking a victory lap the way you did on Monday at my expense. I can't. You're supposed to teach the young men and women, whether you're a coach or a father, how to be a good person. You know, sports is fun. Mm-hmm. What we do is fun. We're in the toy box of life. What I do matters nothing in the grand scheme of things. And I, of all people, realize that. But, you know, sports is about competition. It's about, you know, learning social skills and teaching your kids teamwork and all those type of things. And, you know, the big business of sports today has really perverted the culture, you know. Your kid might not be the next Corey Kluber or the next LeBron James or the next, I don't know, Tom Brady. It's okay. It's okay. Let them love and enjoy the game. If they're really good in high school or whatever, scouts are going to find them. They're going to find that talent. But man, like, when you're a little, you're not playing game 7 of the World Series, man. Come on. So my whole point is, A, I ain't putting up with your crap anymore. B, you're a bunch of jerks. And C, be nice to people. D, if you don't like what I have to say or what, then you don't have to follow. Mm-hmm. You don't have to tell. Like, move on. I see stuff all the time that I don't comment on. All I have to do is look at my mentions. Just leave it be. Go on with your day. Go on with your life.
That's fair. And the other thing is, what we do, you can disagree. Like, okay, you didn't like the Kareem Hunt signing, and Steve did, and I'm just throwing out Steve. I don't know. I'm just, or Larry, or whatever. I'm just naming names here. Bob, Bill, whatever. That's fine. They can like the signing.
Right.
That's it. You know, it's just, it's we're in the opinion business. So you can give your opinion without personally attacking people.
Yeah.
Period.
I mean, trust me, I've learned how to tell people go F themselves without telling them go F yourself. Like, I think I've perfected that art. So, yeah, I'm sorry I went on that rant, James, but I had to get that off my chest because it's been a tough couple of days for me. I do want to say thank you to the people that have reached out to me because it's not been all bad. There have been some people that have pulled me aside, that have called me, that have texted me, that have tweeted at me. Thank you. That also has not gone unnoticed. It means the world to me. Again, you know, it's not about me. I just was trying to use my own personal background and experience as a way to explain why I felt the way I did. And going back and looking at it, maybe I didn't do it the right way or do it succinctly or clearly enough. And I will take responsibility. I'm not perfect. Mm-hmm. I screw up. And you know, maybe that was part of the backlash and the vitriol that was thrown at me. But just, it was uncalled for. It crossed the line. I'm not going to lie. It hurt seeing the volume of people that did that. It wasn't just like, oh, one random tweet. I mean, it was a small tidal wave of them. But I don't understand why people are so ugly to each other and why people are so just disrespectful and mean,
mm-hmm.
especially over sports.
Yeah.
Over sports. Okay. You know, I mean, I realize it's ugly in the political arena these days, and I'm not even going to touch that with a 10-foot pole, but we're talking sports here, man. Like, I don't get the trolling culture. You know, the last couple of years I dealt with some Browns fans, like, it was their mission in life to troll me. In fact, one of them has a podcast now, and they, like, wanted me to come on their podcast. Like, you think I'm going to go on your podcast after you spent 3-4 years trolling me and talking crap to me, to my friends and colleagues and people that work for the Browns and all that? Like, and you want me to come on your, really? Like, I'm all about forgiving and forgetting. And I'll also say this, just because, again, just because you say you're, you know, about second chance and all that, but just be nice to people. Mm-hmm. Not, this isn't even about me. Like, this is bigger than me. You know, just being, you don't have to be a troll. You don't have to be disrespectful. I mean, it's just, it's like elementary stuff that I learned with all the crap that I went through as a kid. Even I knew, you don't hit women. You don't fight. You be respectful. You open doors for people. You say please. You say thank you. You tip your waiter or your waitress. You're polite to people. Like, this is basic humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wish that we as a society would all express and practice better basic humanity.
Well,
it isn't that difficult.
And that's why the Kareem Hunt signing, and it's not just him, but issues like this, topics like this in sports, that's what makes it tough. I know it can't be easy to listen to a bunch of Kareem Hunt talk.
Right.
You know, you want to, and you want the latest information, but it's not fun. It's an ugly topic.
It's very ugly.
You know, we're talking about assault involving, you know, where he kicked and there are videos out there. You're aware of it.
There's nothing to joke about. There's nothing funny about it. It's very serious. I mean, it's tough to, even like in our forum, we're trying to be lighthearted and have some fun with the podcast. And I'm sorry, I like went off and got real super serious there for a little bit. It is prevalent in sports. Players do get in trouble off the field. Mm-hmm. It does happen. And we cover it.
And here's the thing. Here's the message I would say to Browns fans. You do not have to defend that.
No.
You don't have to defend that to cheer for Kareem Hunt if he scores a touchdown, a game winner. They can be two separate things. Being a sports fan does not mean you defend Kareem Hunt the person. It is that simple. It is that simple. I keep talking about Joe Mixon and when I covered him, because I pretty much knew, and I wasn't alone, that the Bengals were going to draft Joe Mixon. It was a very loud secret, I'd say, in Cincinnati.
It was a worst-kept secret in Cincinnati.
Easily. I mean, for months and months, we were hearing chirps and murmurs and stuff about how they wanted Joe Mixon, and we knew it was going to happen. And sure enough, it happened in the second round, just like everybody thought. And when it happened, you still felt, did they have to do that? Did they have to draft the guy?
Didn't feel good. Right.
That punched a woman in the face. You know, did they have to do that? And, you know, obviously he's kept his nose clean and he's been a good guy by all accounts. But what I said is you can cheer for him as the player and as a fan of the Cincinnati Bengals and not have to like Joe Mixon the person or like what he did as a person. And it's the same thing here. You don't have to, if you're a Browns fan, defend Kareem Hunt and what he did. You don't have to go break down the video. And we've had calls in 92.3 The Fan breaking it down. Oh, well, he did this and he could have done this. And it's completely irrelevant. Bottom line is if you want to cheer for when, and I assume he's going to wear number 27, but I'm not sure because that's what he wore.
I don't have a number for you.
Yeah, but
yet.
If you want to cheer when number 27 scores a touchdown, that's fine. That doesn't mean you have to like him as a person or like the guy who goes out or does whatever. You don't have to like that. You don't have to like what he did. You don't have to defend the video, period. And I think that realizing as a fan that you can separate the two is very, very important.
Oh, listen, I don't think there are many Browns fans that have any issue with this, to be perfectly honest with you. And that, I'll be honest with you, I think that's like, the thing that shocks me the most is that there are, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of fans that are all that upset that this guy is a Cleveland Brown and is going to be a representative of that. And I did mean to mention this at some point too, like, you know, I represent 92.3 The Fan. I represent our website. I represent the company that owns our radio station. I represent my boss. I represent our vice president and market manager and everything I do everywhere I go. Okay. And, you know, if I ever get arrested, if I were to be arrested or get caught on video behaving in the manner in which Kareem Hunt was caught on video behaving, I can guarantee you I would not be an employee of 92.3 The Fan again, and I probably would not get another job in this business again. You know, Hunt is lucky that he is as good as he is and as talented as he is. But now he is a representative of the Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that I think also you have to remember about this situation. He now represents the Cleveland Browns. So when he gets in trouble, or rewind.
If
he gets in trouble, that's a reflection on the Browns. Like Josh Gordon.
Sure.
You know, Johnny Manziel. William Green. Like,
Antonio Callaway.
Yeah, Antonio.
To a smaller degree.
Right, but you are a representative of the Browns. You're a representative of the National Football League. And that is something, you know, right or wrong. I mean, and this is another tentacle to this whole thing. You know, are athletes role models? Should they be considered role models? Is that fair to expect that they're role models? I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer to that. From my perspective, I say, yeah, you're a role model by default. Because kids buy your jersey, kids look up to you, just like a coach. As I was talking about earlier, your job as a coach, your job as a father is to provide the example for which the kids are supposed to follow. That's your job. That's what being a father is all about. That's what being a coach is all about. Teach right from wrong. The right way to do things versus the wrong way to do things. And so... you know, fair or not, I do believe athletes are role models. And I'm not saying it's fair. I'm not saying it's right. But that's the reality. Yeah, I go back to Michael Jordan. And I'm paraphrasing here, but it's just something that I always remembered. You know, I remember him being asked in an interview one time because he'd always be seen wearing a suit.
Mm-hmm.
And someone asked him, you know, hey, you know, what's with the suits? Why are you always in a suit? He said, because I never know who's going to run into me, and that might be their only interaction with me, and therefore that is eternally their perception of me forever. And so I want to make sure I look my best, and I present myself accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying Kareem Hunt's got to, like, walk around town wearing a suit. That's not the point. But
I get what you're saying, yeah.
The point is Michael Jordan understood that kids look up to him, people look up to him, fair or not. And so he wanted to make sure he presented the best possible version of himself. LeBron James, same way. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, for all the hype and all the, you know, that surrounded him.
Oh, he delivered.
And what he grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
And the challenges that he faced,
mm-hmm.
and the challenges that his mom faced. It's heartbreaking stuff, as we talked about earlier. It's tragic. It's downright tragic. But for him to come out the way he came out, it's almost miraculous.
He deserves unlimited praise for that.
You know,
it's
almost miraculous how the philanthropy that he does, the image that he constantly projects and why I'm still concerned with Kareem, because I'm afraid some numbnut's going to try and provoke the kid,
mm-hmm.
and then he's not going to be able to respond to that accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, growing up, people provoke me all the time. That was the joke until I finally figured out I'm the butt of the joke. The reason they're doing that is because they want the reaction from me.
Mm-hmm.
And once I stop giving them what they want, maybe they'll leave me alone. It kind of worked a little bit. Not much, but it helped.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm afraid, I'm a little concerned that if Kareem wants to go out and enjoy himself and his personal life and be with his buds or whatever, it's some idiot's going to recognize that it's Kareem Hunt. It's going to try and provoke him. And then something. So, and it's hard to walk away. Trust me, I know. I know, and I did a lot of walking away in my life. That is the hardest thing to do, is to walk away. It's hard for me to walk away from Twitter sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Here's...
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it is. It's not easy. It's real hard to bite your tongue and try and be like the bigger man, and you're just stuff that gets said to you, you're beat red and your blood is boiling and you just want to punch something or somebody. Like, that's normal human emotion, but you got to control it. Like, again, fair or that's you have to, you know, you have to control it. So, you know, that's there's so many things, you know, things you can get into with this Kareem Hunt, you know, the situation, you're growing up in a area that's not, you know, rich or, you know, sure, wealthy or whatnot. And, you know, like there's so many things that you can get into outside of just what happened on that videotape and in society and how it relates to sports and in everyday life. And like I said, I try and do that at times in a way to explain myself and the way I feel about certain issues and certain things, not to justify it or to say that I'm right, but just to try and give people some perspective. Okay, I get why Daryl doesn't like this, doesn't approve of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you have to agree with me. Doesn't mean you got to throw it in my face. But there's so many deep-rooted, nuanced conversations that can be had about Kareem Hunt, about sports, role models, all that, like society and these kids. You know, I was watching Outside the not Outside the Lines, I'm sorry, Real Sports with Brian Gumbel on HBO the other night. It was on, and the reason I was watching is because Adam Schefter. They did a segment on Adam Schefter, his wife. He wrote a book about her late husband who died in the 9/11 attacks, and he, you know, wrote about him. And so that's why I ended. But before the story they aired before they aired the Schefter piece was about how football now has become the escape for inner city kids and hope for young black impoverished kids, and white middle class kids aren't playing the sport as much anymore. They went to, I think it was Harvard. They went to and I should have wrote some of these statistics down so I could be more specific, but you know, they basically talked about how the team went from a team of white guys to now it's a predominantly black team because white middle class kids
aren't
playing the sport. And you know, what is that ramification for the future of football? You know, they try and touch on that, and they also try to, you know, touch on that. You know, are these young black kids being taken advantage of? You know, they interviewed the mom of a young man that ended up dying because of brain damage that he had suffered playing football. And she talked about how, had she known the dangers associated with the game, if she really had a knowledge, she's not sure she would, you know, let her say. It was just, it was a compelling 15-minute piece that, you know, that they did. So there's so many things when you talk about this Kareem Hunt situation, in so many areas like that we can go with a conversation, that it's not just a cut and dry, should they not have signed him? Or
sure,
you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. there's just so many branches that you can go off onto and that. So, you know, there is no, I don't think, right or wrong opinion. But to me, again, it comes down to, can you have a respectful discussion? And I think that is something that is legitimately being lost in this country, is the ability to sit down with someone that you disagree with. I'll tell you right now, I will keep the person's name quiet. But there is somebody that I am around regularly, works in the business. He and I are completely opposite politically. I mean, we are complete polar opposites. We disagree on just about every political issue, but I respect the hell out of him. He respects the hell out of me. We get along personally and professionally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, believe it's possible to do that.
Well, sure.
And I think that that's something that really just and that's the this whole situation that happened with me and even, you know, with Kareem Hunt being signed and the debate amongst whatever, the, you know, good or bad, like you can disagree with people and you can have conversations and listen to other people's points of view without, you know what I mean, being crude or crass or disrespectful, you know, it can be a real in-depth, nuanced conversation about, you know, not just Kareem Hunt, but just all kinds of other areas that, you know, you can take this thing in. But, you know, we'll see how this thing plays out. We'll see how this thing plays out here going forward. But I'll reiterate, I hope for the best for him. I hope that he's able to stay out of trouble because I do not enjoy talking to law enforcement. I do not enjoy getting copies of police reports. I do not enjoy writing bad stuff about players.
Yeah.
There's a perception out there that I'd love that when the Browns are, you know, not good, or I like trashing the team. No, I don't. Trust me. Makes the job a lot more difficult when the team's bad. It makes the job a lot more difficult when players are in trouble. It's uncomfortable at times. It's going to be uncomfortable when I talk to Kareem, not only about the video, but I'm sure he already knows how I feel about it. And I'm sure he'll probably want to address that with me. And hopefully he and I do have an opportunity to speak. I hope he's able to make the most of this, like you talked about earlier, James, the opportunity that's in front of him. I hope he's able to make the most of it here and really not only turn his life around, but be a shining example for other people. And because he has that ability, he has that platform to show, hey, yeah, I screwed up in a big way. I did. I'm not running from it, but here's how I've rectified that. Here's how, you know, if you're in a similar situation, you find yourself in a similar situation, you know, let me be the example of how you can redeem yourself.
That's a good way to put a bow on it, because it is an opportunity and it's all eyes on Kareem Hunt. Look, if he wants to take advantage of it, he's got the chance. John Dorsey's given it to him. The Cleveland Browns have given it to him. We will have more on this. If Kareem talks next week, I'm sure, and not that he will, or when the NFL comes down with a potential suspension in the ruling there, we'll have more on this. We have Indian spring training next week that we're going to dive into. There's a ton that we didn't get into today because of the Kareem Hunt stuff that we will get into next week. Including, oh man, my wedding registry in the battle that went on in the Rapine household. We will get into that next week. We will do some Indians and talk some baseball. And man, oh man, maybe Zion Williamson will continue to make headlines. We'll talk about it.
Will Manny Machado and Bryce Harper both be signed before we do our next podcast?
No.
Yes or no?
No. He's Daryl Ryder. I'm James Rapine. A quick reminder, you can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and every single podcast posted at 923thefan.com. Thank you so much for listening. Until next week, signing off here on the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.